I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey people, it's The Memo. Welcome in on this Wednesday, the 12th of April.
You caught him by surprise.
I mixed things up a little bit with my intro, didn't I?
When you do the editing, I need you to put like a 4 second gap of where you usually put him coming on and
why?
Silence. Because they'll be waiting for it. They'll be expecting it. It's like, and here's whenever one of them talks, they won't be, and they'll lean in. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
They'll jump back.
That's right.
That's what'll happen.
That's Derek Called Russell it. Over there.
Now, don't bring
there,
me
I mean,
into this.
The other side
I want
of the
no
desk.
Part of this. Don't bring me into
I'm
this.
I'm Brad Locke, Chris Kiefer, the producer. He's got his headphones on.
Hello.
What's up? Nothing much. Feral hog activity is on the rise around the Trace, apparently. I just saw that email.
Is feral out again? I hadn't seen him.
Feral? Is that how you... I don't know how you say it. Wild hogs. Let's put it that way. From mileposts 0 to 40. So that's not really around here. But it's along the Trace. But there might be some around here.
Feral hogs.
I've had a couple of run-ins with those. Not like bad run-ins, but back in high school and college when we'd go camping out in North Louisiana, riding four-wheelers one night, we ran across a couple of big ones, went right in front of us, and we turned around and went the other way because those things will mess you up. They will, man.
This is the weirdest story ever.
There's no time we were out there camping and we were in the tent. We heard him running. We're like, well, you know, we don't really want one of those to just run into the tent. So we slept in the truck.
With the feral hog?
No.
Oh.
No. We're trying to avoid them at all costs.
Oh. Just like half awake at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Looking up at the stars.
Pretty much, yeah.
Billy, is that you? I don't think there's been a good horror movie about feral hogs.
There should be.
We should probably give some sort of tax incentive to film on the Natchez Trace and
yeah,
get that done. Like the next Sharknado.
I'll give Glenn Payne a call, see what he says.
Yeah. Or zombie beavers. Just, you know, one of those in a long line of
That's films a movie I heard there was
sci-fi.
Like, I mean, obviously it was like a B movie. But like there were
I
like
think
that's
a C movie, if
some,
anything.
There are some quality elements to it, apparently, in a weird way. I don't know. I kind of want to see it.
The
zombie beavers.
No, it sounds like another Sharknado, of which now five is coming out. I saw.
Did
yesterday.
You see like in Australia? I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Yes, where
an
it was
actual
in the
shark
was just in the middle of the road
after like a cyclone.
Yeah,
and it washed up on shore.
Like, nope.
Sharknado's
no,
real.
We don't need that.
It's real. They said scientists said it couldn't happen.
Did it.
Scientists said it couldn't happen. Apparently so.
I don't want any part of that. I gave up after they went to space on those. I was like, what else are you going to do? How are you making more of these? Now I know. Feral hogs.
I still haven't.
Spinoff.
There you go. Hognado.
Hognado.
There you go.
Genius. Patent it quick, because as soon as it goes out on this podcast.
Yeah, crap. I don't know if we need another tornado of something. I think now we just need like a, what's another storm system we could.
Hurricane.
You got tsunamis.
Hogacane.
Hognami.
Pignami.
We got hurricanes.
El Nino. El.
I don't know what Spanish for pig is. I don't know.
Feral Nino. What is Spanish for pig?
Hog quake. It's like an earthquake because they're stampeding.
Hog quake. There you go. Whatever that word is what is Spanish for pig.
Cerdo?
Sure.
Ooh.
Cerdo?
We could tie it into like, be like a spinoff.
You were saying sure. I just thought you.
No, it'd be like
I made it funny.
A mashup of Sharknado and Tremors.
Oh.
They're kind of like,
pigs?
they're underground though.
Yeah.
But they're. Kind of, they're pig-like.
So what's how does a
not,
tornado fit in?
No,
that?
We're talking about earthquakes here.
Oh, earthquakes!
They cause earthquakes, and Tremors is just you know they
I
respond.
Love Tremors.
They
don't get me started. Tremors is fantastic.
I love that the first one's great. I watch it every time it comes on TV.
There you go.
But yeah, that's just an idea here. We're just you know
I'm just spitting out Sci-Fi Channel. If you want to get in touch with us, it's memo@journalinc.com.
Yes. We will write for your channel.
Yeah,
if you pay us.
Geniuses at work.
I think more thought went into that than went into any Sharknado movie. So
you're probably right.
Yeah, we just get David Hasselhoff and Kevin Bacon, and we got a movie.
I guarantee you.
Oh, Kevin Bacon. It sells itself.
Duh.
Bacon.
There you Pigs. Go. You have to have him. I don't care how big time he is now. You got to get him.
Baconado.
Listen, every big actor will occasionally stoop to one of these kinds of movies.
Yeah, just throw them a little money.
A little pay. No, they got bills to pay.
Yeah, yeah. That's the utility bill right there.
Can we also get John Hamm?
Oh, John Hamm. John Hamm. Oh, dear God, this is amazing. John Hamm. Kevin.
Those are your...
What about Miss Piggy?
Bacon.
Ah, so you can make a cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I kind of want it to be kind of gritty and
number
realistic.
Number one hit for John Hamm and Kevin Bacon. John Hamm and Kevin Bacon have disappointingly vegetable-centric diets.
Of course they do.
Oh, there's pictures of them together. Oh, that's our poster right there. Just put like a spinning tornado of hogs in the background. That's so good.
Oh, boy.
John Hamm and Kevin. That's smart. Well, Brad, that may be the smartest thing you've ever said.
Thank you, Derek.
You'll never top it. Ever.
I think I'm going to write it. I think we just stop the show now and go start writing the script.
John Hamm and Kevin Bacon.
Turn in our resignation.
In a movie about
moneymaker.
In a movie about pig earthquakes.
Pig earthquakes.
In a world where...
We got a big show today, but nothing's going to top that. It's all downhill from here, folks. Emma Kent's going to be joining us, as well as Caleb Bedillion and Dennis Sid on this Wednesday edition of The Memo.
In a world where pigs run wild.
Two men.
Named Bacon
with
and Ham.
Synonymous last names.
What would we call it? We would just call it Hogquake.
Hogquake's pretty good.
I like Hogquake. We'll go with that. Oh, we'll bounce this around a little bit.
I can't think of anything better. Tune in to the end of the show and we'll have fleshed this out somewhat.
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Okay. Emma Kent is here to talk about education because she's our education reporter. That's what she does.
That's right.
How are you doing?
What I do? I'm good. I'm good, Brad.
Excellent.
How are you? Are you sad?
I'm swell.
Are you sad, Brad?
I'm not sad right now.
Okay.
Yeah. No, people don't have a clue what we're talking about, and that's okay. Inside jokes are fun.
Inside jokes. Inside pod jokes.
Inside pod jokes. Okay, let's talk about this story you had the other day about this really cool program. It's called Mississippi Excellence in Teaching Program. It started up in 2013. Mm-hmm. Basically what it does, it tries to identify high school students, really bright high school students, and get them to become teachers in Mississippi.
Right.
Because as we know, as with most things, Mississippi ranks near the bottom in education. And, mm-hmm. you know, that creates a vicious cycle of people not wanting to get into the profession, at least not in Mississippi. And so this program kind of aims to reverse that trend. And so far, they're actually having some success, it seems like, aren't they?
Yeah. From what I've heard, just talking to students and people at the university. So the program is at Ole Miss and at Mississippi State.
Right.
They've got two groups of students at each campus who are in the program. And yeah, I mean, it seems like they've had some success so far, and it's gotten really competitive as far as the application process and getting in, because it's a full scholarship if you get in.
Yeah, and you get to go study abroad and do some other things. I mean, it's
a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess, let's see. In its fourth year now. So the first group of students who started this program in 2013 are about to graduate in May. And then they'll go and start their first job teaching somewhere in Mississippi.
And they have to commit to teaching in Mississippi for 5 years after graduation, right?
Yes. They can put their 5 years, like, I guess, on hold if they want to get their master's. If they want to go straight into a master's program, they can do that before they start teaching. But then they still have to do 5 years after that's... They're done with that. So some students choose to do that. But yeah, they have to stay in Mississippi for 5 years. But they can teach in whatever schools they choose. It's not, you know, they don't get assigned in the way that maybe like Teach for America or some other programs do it. As long as they're in Mississippi, then that fulfills their requirement.
So how did this program get started?
You've got the College of Education on each campus, and they wanted to do something to just get really high quality students to go into education, because if you have really great students becoming really great teachers, then hopefully that kind of just lifts everybody up.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of it is also changing. They wanted to change the perception that the college of education was not rigorous, or that, you know, that getting an education degree wasn't hard, or that they didn't get the best students, whatever. Cause I don't know if it was, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, but like, I know being at Mississippi State, there was kind of that perception,
sure,
of the college of education of like, you know, people becoming teachers, just apparently people just didn't think it was very hard. It was just kind of one of the easy things to do.
Yeah.
And so changing that perception and making teaching, a more attractive profession to choose, I think, is a big part of it.
And again, it's working pretty well. In fact, you talked to some students, and like some students, they had different majors, and then they found out about this and ended up switching. And that's, you know, and they seem to really be fully invested in it.
Yeah, I talked to two students at Mississippi State who one of them came in as an English major at the beginning. And then the other girl, she came in as a math major, and when they found out about the program, they applied and they, switched, you know, they became education majors to do this program. And they, you know, they both have said it's just been the greatest experience because they, of course, the tuition, the scholarship is a big deal.
Sure.
But it's, you know, they've gotten to do a lot of kind of extra.
Yeah, and they get to start student teaching as early as freshman year, don't they?
Well, I don't student teach until senior year still, but they get to do more observations.
Observation, okay, sorry.
And spend more time, like, in real schools with real teachers.
Okay.
Most education majors don't get to do observations until their junior year.
I gotcha.
And then they student teach as seniors for a semester. So yeah, they do get a little more exposure to the classroom, which is great because that's where you're going to spend your life if you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Best to get out there, get in there early and see what's going on. So.
And it seems like they're really, you know, the goal was to get some high performing students in there, and the numbers bear this out. To like at Ole Miss, the number of freshman education majors with a 28 or higher on the ACT went from 5 in 2012 to 42 this school year. And the same kind of deal at MSU. And both of these programs have a retention rate of 90% or more.
Right.
So, I mean.
And that's just, those numbers are actually just for the College of Education, not even this program in particular.
Okay, because it was overall the whole.
Right. So that's something I talked to the dean of the College of Education at Ole Miss, David Rock, and he said that, you know, they're getting, because it's competitive to get into this program, they only have like 30 spots for the Excellence in Teaching program. They get a lot of applicants, but then even the ones who don't get into the program, they may stay in the College of Education and still pursue teaching as a career. And so it's bringing the whole college up.
Yes, yeah,
so
having kind of a trickle down effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that's kind of an interesting. I thought that was kind of an interesting side effect.
Right.
You know, because that's what you want. I mean,
exactly.
You want the whole group to come up, not just that one cohort of students.
Yeah.
So,
I mentioned earlier the study abroad. So what does that involve? They go to Canada? Is that it?
Yes, they go. So between their junior and senior year, they go. And it's kind of interesting. The students at Mississippi State and the students at Ole Miss, they go together. So they all get to know each other and that kind of thing. And they do some other stuff, cross-campus activities. But they go to Canada, and they, I'm trying to remember where, I don't remember where exactly it is that they go, but they get to go to some schools in Canada and kind of see the differences between their schools and our schools. They get to, you know, talk to some teachers and, just kind of really just take a look at their education and then compare it or bring back whatever, you know, lessons, things that they saw that they thought were cool. And bring that back and see if they can implement it here. So, and something the students talking to them, they were saying, you know, it's really interesting because Canada has some of the same challenges. You know, their education system has some of the same challenges that ours does. And so they kind of could talk to each other and say like, oh, well, how are you dealing with this? You know, and kind of share that sort of solution, problem solving, collaborate in that way. So, I mean, I think the study abroad thing is really a big draw, I would think, for these students. And several of them told me, you know, I wouldn't have been able to study abroad if I hadn't been in this program because it's expensive. So,
oh, I bet.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty cool.
So this program is funded by the Robert M. Heron Support Foundation in Jackson. I don't know if you know much about that foundation.
I don't know much about them other than they fund this program. So
apparently they got plenty of money to do that with, yeah. which is good. I'm curious to see, Emma, how they what kind of effect this has on education in Mississippi long term. Of course, you're going to have to wait a few years to try to figure that out. I don't know what kind of metrics you'll use, whether it's just the normal metrics that you use to, or if they can specifically track what kind of impact these teachers are having. But you kind of hope that the bigger picture will get better as more of these students get out into the education system.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see. I mean, obviously, it takes money to do it because you've got to fund those students. But yeah. I would be interested to see if they expand the program to get more students, or if other, you know, it's just at State and Ole Miss. I don't know if any other schools in the state would want to try to replicate it or what. It'll just be interesting to see. Dean Rock at the College of Education at Ole Miss was telling me that he's gotten calls from deans at different universities, kind of even just in other states across the country, who are interested in calling and saying, hey, how are you guys doing this? We think this is really cool. You know, so it would be interesting to see if other schools in other states try to, because there's not a lot of incentive to become a teacher. I mean, if you really think about it, like, you know, it's
a thankless job.
Yeah. It's a thankless job. And the salary is
not great. Especially in the South.
And especially if you have to take out loans to go to college.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay those back on the teacher's salary. I mean, that's just tough. So I think incentivizing becoming a teacher is a really great way to get people to become teachers. I mean, you know, otherwise you have to really, really, I guess, just really want to do it. And that's fine. You want people who really want to do it, but you might miss out on some people who could be really great teachers, but decide to do something else because of a perception issue or because of, you know,
money
or whatever. I mean, so yeah. And part of that's going to come, you know, part of that issue, that this can't solve everything. I mean, teachers, if you want people to become teachers, you might want to pay teachers more. So, that's another part of the problem that the universities can't solve, but, it's a good start. I think
it sure is. It sure is. Y'all can read the story in Sunday's journal.
Yes.
Sunday. And at djournal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Good work, Emma. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
And be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday or Friday, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m., and you can watch for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple or Android devices. Dennis Sid joining us on this Wednesday. Dennis, you were single-handedly responsible for the stock market crash back several years ago, but we see now that things are getting better. Is that true?
I am doing my best because I brought donuts twice within a week. So.
All's forgiven.
There you go.
In all seriousness, the housing market seems to be on a steady upswing after recent years and the remission from 2007 onward.
On a tear. Last year in now these are numbers from the Northeast Mississippi Board of Realtors, which includes Lee, Pontiac, Union, Prentice, Itawamba, Monroe, and Chickasaw. So mm-hmm. it's not all of Northeast Mississippi, but it's, you know, it's the biggest market. So last year, 1,738 homes were sold in that 5, 6, 7 county area. Mm-hmm. And that's a record. And plus the median sold price was $120,000, another record. So these are numbers that, really impressive. And this year it's, you know, still going strong according to the realtors that I've talked to. And, everybody knows mortgage rates will be going up, which is kind of spurring that demand as well. But it's getting close to a seller's market here because, you know, there are multiple offers on some homes. That wasn't an issue a few years ago back during the recession. Mm-hmm. So it's a healthy market at the moment. You know, houses are being built, people are buying, people are looking. So it's a good time to be in real estate.
Apparently so. I mean, it's funny to think it's been nearly 10 years since that happened. You've got some other numbers listed here versus homes sold in 2007, 1,500 versus 1,300 listings where the median price was 103,000. And then you just kind of see it drop from there in subsequent years due to the recession. So to see how much it's bounced back locally means a lot for our economy here.
Yeah, and it's a nationwide. There's an AP story that came out Monday that said, you know, it's getting tough to buy homes, and sort of the issue we're seeing here. You know, people are trying to buy homes, and you know, the sellers are, you know, they're in that great position of being able to essentially ask and get what they want, if not more.
Sure.
In some markets, not all markets. You know, all real estate is local, of course, but you know, we seem to be doing as well as a lot of areas of the country right now.
You have a lot about home building here. What about home buying?
Yeah, I mean, it's a part and parcel with it all. You know, if you're looking for a home, you know, depending on where it is, you might end up, you know, battling with other folks bidding on a home. You know, if you got the credit and you have the money, then hey, it can be yours for the right price.
I saw, I don't think it was the AP story you were discussing, but I saw a story out of Nashville a week or so ago about insane bidding wars because the market is so good right now for selling, but a whole lot of people aren't selling. And how, you know, people were going way above and beyond asking price to outbid other people.
And, you know, and in some markets, the buyers are able to ask the seller, well, you know, we'll buy it if you'll do this and this and this, and if you'll do this. So, and times pass, it was sort of the other way around. You did what you could as a seller, and, you know, you get the price, you know, where you wanted it. But it's getting to be that market where, you know, if you're selling the house, you're in really, really good shape.
Yeah. Well, I guess Brad and I attributed to that last year. We both sold houses in 2016.
I did. Sold one last June.
Yeah. But he bought four kids, so it sort of, you know.
New house came with a bunch of weird kids, like in that Kathy Bates commercial.
They were already left over, so. Oh, that Kathy Bates commercial is weird, isn't it?
I love that.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's disturbing. Anyway.
Dennis, one thing, I guess this is part of it being a seller's market that you mentioned in your story is, it's becoming harder to find prices in the low and medium price range. What one of the experts you talked to said, is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the quote affordable housing prices, you know, is around $120,000, and you know, it's kind of moving on up as far as, you know, the prices of the houses there are on the market. So if it might be kind of tough to find the $120,000 range. You know, if you're going more toward, you know, to the upper end, closer to $200,000, there'll be more homes available at that price range, which, you know, may put it out of the reach of some folks, particularly, you know, first-time home buyers. But again, it depends on, you know, where you're looking. So,
Dennis, great information. Thank you for coming in today.
No, thank you.
We will not hold the recession against you.
Well, you know, it comes and goes, so you never know what's around the
corner. Are we due for another one? Is that going to happen?
Like
gravity. Is the bubble going to burst again?
It must go up, must come down.
If Brad keeps buying kids, can we offset the housing market? Thanks for coming in.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or hits the replay later in the day. The 2017 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
We've got Caleb Bedillion in the studio now. Caleb, there's been a recent back and forth between Tupelo and Lee County in recent days over the current jail being occupied by Lee County Sheriff's Department and the agreement that goes back some 20 2 years. Is that right?
Signed in 1995.
There you go, so, 22 years.
Almost 22, I believe.
A gentleman's understanding, a gentleman's agreement.
A little bit more than a gentleman's agreement. They actually have a binding contract on paper, which really is the crux of the most recent, as you call it, back and forth. Last week, Lee County served the city of Tupelo with notice that it intends to terminate the agreement that was signed in 1995. So the way this agreement works is Lee County agreed to house the city of Tupelo's prisoners so that Tupelo is kind of out of the prisoners' game. No need for a municipal prison. Now, the agreement is not needed for Lee County to do that. Lee County houses the prisoners at the Lee County Jail of all the municipalities in Lee County.
Right.
But only has a contract with the city of Tupelo. And here's how that came about. Because in 1995, when Lee County was building a jail, the one that is currently in operation, Tupelo actually donated the land that that jail sits on free of charge under the condition that Lee County continues to use that as a jail. They, you know, convert it to a park or an ice hockey rink or something. They have to buy the land. But in exchange for donating the land, they did want some assurances. And so that's how the agreement came about that binds Lee County to house Tupelo's prisoners. Now, either party does have the right to terminate the agreement, but they have to give 2 years advance notice. So that's what Lee County did last week. Now, everyone on Lee County's side has been quick to say, just because we're giving this termination notice doesn't mean we intend to stop housing prisoners. We're just trying to get out from under this contract so that we face the flexibility to do what we feel like we need to do. And here's what the thought process is, at least as Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson explained it to me. Supervisors have discussed a plan to put a referendum on the ballot next year. This referendum would ask Lee County voters, that includes everyone in Lee County, whether you live in a municipality or in the unincorporated county, to approve a bond issue. So this would require raising property taxes just a little bit in order to pay off debt, essentially, that would need to be incurred in order to build a new jail that would be larger than the current jail and be a little bit more modern. Now, Sheriff says if he gets that new jail built, he absolutely intends to continue housing Tupelo's prisoners. In fact, him and some of the supervisors have indicated if a new jail is built, Lee County will need Tupelo's prisoners, because the way it works is the municipalities pay a fee per day per prisoner. Now, a bigger jail would have higher operating costs, and Tupelo by far contributes more prisoners than any other entity in the county. So they're paying the most to put their prisoners there. So a big jail, Lee County is going to need Tupelo's prisoners and the fees associated with them. Now, this is where things start to get maybe a little point of contention between the two. Sheriff Johnson says if voters reject a referendum, and he's pointed out that city of Tupelo has a large block of voters, so especially if a referendum is rejected with Tupelo's voters really helping vote that down, current jail's overcrowded, he might have to stop taking the city of Tupelo's prisoners, which he can do in 2019, mm-hmm. once this two-year notice period has elapsed. Now, if that happens, city of Tupelo would have a problem. The city of Tupelo can't put its prisoners at the Lee County Jail. They've either got to build their own jail, which they don't want to do, or contract with another entity outside the county.
Which is trouble.
Yeah. Yes. If we've got, you know, I mean, Itawamba, they don't have room over there either. They're trying to build a new jail. I don't know if any of the other counties have room for Tupelo's prisoners, and it'd be much longer transportation time. Obviously. It would be a headache for
everyone.
Lee
County is the largest outside of Alcorn, I think. Maybe the next largest.
Jail?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm not sure on that either, but
in terms of occupancy, yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, at one time the county had been trying to get a regional jail where they'd go in maybe with Itawamba and some of these other people, but they couldn't get approval for that from the state. So basically, we've got a situation the county's trying to say, we're not picking on you. We've just got to keep our options open. City is obviously a little concerned, you know.
Yeah, what's happening on the Tupelo side of that?
Well, Mayor Shelton has said he's got to take this seriously and act as if the Tupelo won't be able to put its prisoners at Lee County. Right. Because guess what? Like I said, the two-year notice puts the termination of the contract in April of 2019. The referendum, it hasn't been scheduled yet, but there's been talk of putting it with next fall's election. So that would be judges. There's going to be a Senate seat, a U.S. Senate seat up on the ballot. Well, that won't be until November. So if we don't find out until November of 2018...
And we're going to lose this in what month of 19? When would this...
April. So basically, if voters reject this in November of 2018, that gives conceivably Tupelo...
6 months.
Gives Tupelo 6 months to figure out what it's going to do. Now, you know, theoretically, you know, the sheriff could say, look, I mean, just because the contract expires then, or the... Just because the termination window closes in April, that doesn't mean he's going to stop housing prisoners. Right. Theoretically, he could say, look, I'm going to give you a year to figure out what you're going to do. But, I mean, Tupelo can't make plans based on kind of promises of what might happen.
6 months. I mean, 2 years alone, a jail is not like building a Zaxby's or something. I mean, you need that time period.
Right, right. So when I spoke to the mayor about this, he pointed out that, you know, building even the new police station took a while,
yeah.
And frankly, the mayor thinks even if they started now, 2 years might be a little tight to build a municipal jail, and then it might not be needed. So I think the city of Tupelo feels like they were kind of blindsided by the termination notice, and that they don't really have any good options because they've either got to start working on building a jail that might not be needed, or they've got to wait around and then potentially not have enough time to build a jail that might be needed. The mayor and select council members did meet with the sheriff on Monday. They met on Monday, which followed the previous Friday when the termination notice was offered. Promised communication, working together, and more meetings to try and keep everyone in the same loop together. City of Tupelo has pledged to do what it can to help Lee County. Sheriff told me he thinks that means Tupelo needs to do whatever it can to make sure the referendum passes. Though by the same token, you know, elected officials can't make city residents vote a particular way in the referendum, no matter how hard they may support it. So, yeah, still some unanswered questions at this juncture about what the options are for some of our local government entities.
And unfortunately, it sounds like a hurry up and wait situation.
Yeah, probably, especially since we're in the middle of an election season here in Tupelo, and I doubt city council is going to start throwing money around for a jail that might not be needed.
Yeah.
And conceivably, we may have some new faces. Theoretically, we could have some new faces on the council come July, which could throw a wrinkle into things because we don't know what their attitude might be. We might have someone on there that really wants to play hardball with the county, or someone that is like, let's start building a jail now and just go from there. So we'll see.
Caleb, thanks for coming in today.
All right. Thanks so much.
Well, that's it for the show. Derek.
I don't sound so happy about it.
Let's go get to work on that Hogquake script.
I didn't come up with any better ideas. So.
Yeah, me either.
We lied at the top.
You've got
the show.
You know, you used to work in LA. You got the connections. You catch up with Kevin Bacon and John Hamm.
Yeah,
and
let me just put those feelers out there and we'll see what we get back. I don't foresee that happening.
You got nothing else to do.
I just think you
John
pitch,
Hamm's
pitch
doing
it to Sci-Fi Channel and you got a movie there.
All John Hamm's doing is just living off those Mad Men royalties and doing tax company commercials. He's not that busy.
Is he?
I don't know.
I didn't know that. No worse than Kathy Bates doing creepy kid commercials.
It's one of my favorite ones, by the way.
Is that for like Zillow or something?
No, it's like
a realtor?
Maybe, I don't know. Some kind of legal something.
Legal it's weird, whatever it is.
Know. It's great. It's great. It's for TurboTax.
It is taxes, isn't it? Because she's trying to see if she can get a write off for having a haunted house. Can you?
Oh yeah, my house is probably still haunted.
Anymore?
I heard weird noises this morning after the kids.
Maybe
left.
Don't say that with your child on the
way. Yeah. Ellie is here, my youngest. She's over there. You can hear her probably. She's visiting the studio. She's probably going to be the new co-host. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's far more entertaining.
Yep. Oh, there she goes.
I guess she doesn't want to be the co-host.
Guess that means the show's over, everybody. Ellie says the show's over. Aww. She's done.
She had to stop. She tried to stick her finger in an outlet because she wanted to have hair like Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
But luckily, Rachel stopped her.
Yeah, she gets angry about strange things. She got angry the other day because I wouldn't let her put my toothbrush in her mouth. And she cried for a couple of minutes.
Why?
About that. I don't know.
The horror.
Mean.
Yeah, don't do that.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Y'all can catch us a variety of ways. We're on iTunes. We're in Google Play or any of your podcast apps. We're also at memo.djournal.com. And we're on Twitter at djournalmemo. So we'll be back on Friday, the entertainment edition / food edition of the podcast.
Come back and do it again.
Maybe we'll expound on the hog quake.
I think that's probably it.
Thoughts. Okay.
That's probably it. I don't think anybody was falling into it as heavily as you did.
It was fun while I liked
it. You should have run it by Emma while she was there.
I should have.
See what she thought.
Should have done that. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Missed opportunity, perhaps.
Oh, well.
Okay. So we'll be back then. Y'all have a good next couple of days. Especially you, Derek.
You're dragging it.
All right, well,
just wrap up.
All right, we're done.
Just rip it off like a Band-Aid.
Okay,
just
bye.
Go. Bye.